Okay, good afternoon, everyone. So what I'll be presenting today are just the first 2 years of outcomes for our Youth Empowerment for Success, Yes, CESA Play the Project. I have no relationships to disclose. After cutting about 20 slides out of this presentation, it's still just whizzing by at the 20-minute mark, so I'm just going to kind of try to highlight some main points and get through here on time. So Latinos, as most of you probably know, are America's largest ethnic minority group and the fastest growing demographic. They're at high risk for poor academic as well as health outcomes. So considering the size of them in our in the U.S., their health and academic outcomes are a major public health interest. So in response to these risk factors, we developed the YES program to focus on these four primary areas, so academic enrichment, career development and life skills, personal development and wellness, and cultural enrichment. So it's a three-year project, and we recruit 34 Latino students who are considered at risk each year of the project. So to be eligible, they must be Latino and present with either an academic, health, and or behavioral risk. And even if the student doesn't necessarily present with any individual risk, we also accept students who live in a context of risk. So an example of this would be if they have a sibling who dropped out of school or some similar risk factor. So, you know, recognizing the environmental influences on risk for our youth. So students can be referred to us by a number of sources, so through an instructor or a counselor, the school's principal, the director of our parent center, other parents who have had their children participating in the project previously can often refer to other parents to the program, and the students are also able to self-refer into the program. To your right, there are just some additional statistics to kind of frame the economic disadvantages where our kids in the program are coming from. So. Almost all of our kids qualify for free or reduced lunch, and the community from where our participants come from, the poverty levels in that zip code are about 2 times the national average. Okay, so we provide year-round services, so throughout the academic year as well as during the summer. Our evaluation occurs pre and post as well as 6 months for our students. And then we also evaluate our parents via interviews. Those two things that are grayed out, I grayed them out just because I won't be presenting on them today. We do not have a control group, and again, this is a community-based program. So there was a session earlier where Mayra Rascon presented on our community partnerships and really talked about how we've developed those and how we interact with our community partners. So I'm just briefly going to state them here. So again, the Center for Latino Community Health is where the program is housed, and we are part of California State University of Long Beach. We've developed the YES Center at Hamilton Middle School. So at Hamilton Middle School, that's where we draw our students from. And they allowed us space in the school to be able to hold a lot of our program activities there. And then finally, we partner with the local YMCA, who also allow us to collaborate with Change Agents Productions, who are the people who help us with the technology portion of our program. Okay, so here briefly are our intervention components. So we provide after-school tutoring for 90 minutes, 2 days per week. We also have the students actually get out there and be active. It's really great that our mentors, we have peer mentors as well as graduate mentors, they actually get out there with the students. That really helps promote that physical activity and the enjoyment. As far as our technology component, we provide digital media classes where the students actually develop digital media projects by the end of their participation. Then we hold monthly workshops at Cal State Long Beach on subjects ranging from health, academic, and cultural enrichment. Also, the idea behind holding these at Cal State Long Beach is so that the kids get used to being on a university campus, and so that it becomes familiar for them. They feel comfortable there. Parents are also invited, or the full families are invited to these workshops too, so that we can kind of, you know, get the family involved and really, you know, make the whole family feel at home in a university setting. And then finally, so that's all what happens during the academic year. And then during the summer, Cal State Long Beach offers a summer camp, which involves in the morning academic enrichment. So there they learn math, English, or they have math and English instruction, as well as science and technology, I believe. And then in the afternoons, so they're there all day. They're from 8 in the morning to, I believe, 5 o'clock at night. So the first 4 hours in the morning are academic enrichment, and then the last 4 hours in the day are a sports camp. So they engage in swimming every day. We provide them with bathing suits, and we provide them with healthy meals actually throughout the entire interventions, just to kind of reinforce that behavior of having healthy meals that are properly nutritionally balanced. So we collect data directly from the school as far as their academics. We ask about access to computer and internet. We also ask about computer use and computer knowledge. We assess general self-esteem as well as depression. And as far as psychosocial determinants of physical activity, we also measure self-efficacy as well as social support for physical activity from both friends and family. We measure their ability to correctly identify healthier substitutions, as well as how often they've done it in the past week. We do measure physical activity, and we did actually measure height and weight to be able to calculate BMI percentile. And using a Tanita bioimpedance scale, we're also able to assess percent body fat. Okay, so currently we just finished recruiting our year three cohort, so we're in the last year of the program. We've completed evaluations for our first 2 years of participants. We're working on getting our parent interviews transcribed so we can start looking at that qualitative data. But in essence, we've been able to serve over 60 at-risk youth through our year-round services. Okay, so just to give you a little background, these are the baseline demographic characteristics for our year one and year two cohorts. So they're about 12 years old, primarily joining our program in sixth grade, the majority of which are males, U.S. born, and bilingual in both English and Spanish. So here I'm just going to talk about some of the significant changes we saw from pre-program to post-program. For the most part, it's year one and two cohorts, unless otherwise noted. So here, noted. We've had some difficulties being able to get the academic data due just to administrative issues. There's been some changeover in the staff, and due to funding cuts for the district, we haven't had as much help in being able to get that data. So as far as the data that we do have for our first-year students, we were able to significantly increase their academic GPA, so not so much PE and electives, but at least their core academic courses. We did see a good change there. We did see a slight increase in disciplinary actions and unexcused absences, but they're still pretty low considering, you know, disciplinary actions range from 0 to 3, and excused absences ranged from 0 to 7. So they're still pretty low numbers, even though we did see an increase. As far as technology, we were able to increase daily internet access for, or increase the students from having less than daily internet access to more regular internet access, and we're also able to significantly increase their computer knowledge. As far as our psychosocial factors, we weren't able to impact or change their general self-esteem or depression levels. And so in the absence of a control group, I've provided just some normative data on and for the self-esteem scale, so that's a self-description questionnaire. And so the from the normative data, their average scores for 7th to 12th graders, and again, it's not a great comparison because we're limited to just our middle school kids. But on average, the normative data shows a score of 48.25. So our scores are slightly lower, but still comparable. And as far as depression, I've just provided the cut points for clinical depression, and we can see that our averages are well below those numbers. As far as health behaviors, we were able to increase both self-efficacy as well as social support for physical activity. And regarding body size, we didn't see any differences in BMI percentile. And again, here, this is just our year two data. We didn't get our equipment early enough to get a pre-measure of our year one students. So I'm only presenting pre-post for our year two data. We did see a significant drop in percent fat, though, which was a good finding, and considering that that's a more accurate indicator of health risk, the fat percent versus BMI percentile. However, when we look at, so we do have post data for both year one and two data, so we are able to compare our numbers for BMI percentile cut scores. So based on the CDC, percentiles were in 80, BMI percentile of 85th and beyond is considered overweight or obese. We had 40% of our students fitting into that category, and comparing to the national numbers for Mexican American youth, which is the majority of our sample, it's lower than that 44%, and also it's lower than the 55% of seventh graders from that same zip code that are overweight and obese. And then looking at healthy ranges for fat percentage for males and females, males 11 to 22%, females at 16 to 29%. So when we look at the mean for our year one and year two post numbers, we are within those healthy ranges. So to sum up briefly, we were able to successfully improve academic GPA. And considering this was an at-risk sample, we had pretty small increases in disciplinary actions and unexcused absences. And although we weren't able to increase the math and English California standards test scores, we were able to maintain them, whereas there was a drop in the academic performance index for the larger school population. As far as technology, we were able to, again, improve their internet access. We improved their knowledge of computers, so that ranged from computer hardware to software programs, being able to create multimedia products, as well as conduct research for their digital media projects, which were public service announcements. So I'm going to show you a quick sample of one of their projects. So let's see if I can get this.
Thank you.
Right, so each of the students were able to, in groups, present or create a PSA for them, and most of them focused on similar health obesity topics. They were real fun to be able to watch, and at the end of the program, we made DVDs for the students to have copies of all their PSAs. Okay, so moving on to psychosocial health. Again, considering we're working with an at-risk sample of youth, we were able to at least maintain the levels of self-esteem and depression, especially during this age range where there's a lot of factors that can move to lower self-esteem and increase depressive symptoms. Also, our average self-esteem scores were comparable to norms, and our average depression scores were below clinical depression cut points. As far as health behavior and weight status, we were able to increase important psychosocial determinants of physical activity, self-efficacy, and social support, reviews of psychosocial factors of physical activity point to self-efficacy as one of the primary factors that is consistently predictive of physical activity behavior, so hopefully when we run further analysis, we'll be able to see that might be something driving their physical activity levels. We were able to find incite a significant decrease in percent body fat, and post-program fat percentages were within the healthy range. And we also have a lower proportion of overweight students compared to national and city data. Here are a few student testimonials. My personal favorite, because it's one of my primary areas of research, is I learned that being physically active can help me relieve stress, so I love the killing two birds with one stone there. We also had, again, our students are very bilingual, so we have a quote here in Spanish, aprendí muchas cosas de la comunidad latina y cómo respetar a otros, so I learned a lot of things about the Latino community and how to show respect for others. And then a couple of other really great quotes. There, the far end picture is our project director handing out certificates that we give to our students at the end of the program. Some of the limitations include the fact that we have no control groups, so as much as possible, we're trying to draw just community data or other data that we can use as comparison for our program outcomes. As I mentioned, we've had a lot of difficulties in obtaining our academic data, but hopefully that's been squared away and we'll be getting that in shortly. Dietary intervention needs to be more clearly stated, and we need a better measure of diet, so we just kind of need to be more explicit about, you know, how we're intervening on diet and what we're doing so that they're more aware of what's going on as far as our dietary components. We need to improve our access to our participants for our post-measures, so, you know, the program ends at the end of summer, then, you know, they run off to vacation or other various things, so it's a little bit harder to get those post-measures, but we've actually had better luck with our six-month follow-up data, again, because they're in school, so they're a little bit more captive, so we're able to access them a little better, but we need to improve our post-measure numbers. And then also, we just want to get the family more involved at our workshops. We've seen a little bit of increase as more siblings have joined the program, so we're getting a lot more family participation at the workshops, but again, it's a family-based thing, and, you know, if we can't, you know, we can't change behavior with the child on their own, we need the family to be involved. Okay. So we just want to finish our year three, complete our evaluation, and hopefully with some process evaluation, identify ways to improve and apply for renewal funding. I think I'm out of time. So lastly, I just want to really thank our participants and families. Without them, we could do nothing. And then all our wonderful staff. Thank you.